I'm Maggie Mertens, and I'm here with former Senator David Durenberger of Minnesota. And back in 1993, Durenberger co-sponsored the major health reform bill offered by Senate Republicans during the health care reform attempt under President Clinton. So it seems pretty clear that the bill co-sponsored by Republicans back in the 90s, certain provisions like the individual mandate, for instance, or a standard benefits package, seem to be known as Democratic ideas now, but actually back in your bill, they were raised by the Republican side and almost spurned by the Democratic side. And when did that shift happen and why?
Well, let me give you a brief background. I mean, the Clintons, when they chose to put their health care reform bill together in early 1993, also chose to exclude the Republicans from the drafting of the bill and some conservative Democrats as well. As a reaction to that, some Republicans, the Newt Gingrich House members, and Phil Graham in particular, the senator from Texas, rallied a lot of Republicans in the Senate and the House to oppose anything that the Clintons came up with. And the Republicans said, we don't want to work with anybody to get a bill passed.
And so why do you think that certain provisions that the Republicans that are in Congress today have called an individual mandate unconstitutional even and come out completely against these ideas that were put forward by Republicans like yourself back in 1993? What's changed since then?
The main thing that's different today, of course, is that Republicans have changed. I mean, there aren't any Republicans like the 12 of us. You know, Chafee happened to have passed away, but I doubt if he would have survived. His son didn't survive as his replacement. There are no efforts any longer at bipartisanship in health care. There certainly weren't in 2003 when President Bush did his prescription drug changes. They got a couple of Democratic senators on there by changing the wage index of Medicare. But other than that, it was a Republican bill. So same thing happened in 1998 when there was this bipartisan commission on the future of Medicare. So the Republicans today want to go back to where they were in the first part of this decade with consumer-driven health care. They talk about families and doctors. In other words, they like it just the way it is today. And they think that if everybody owned an individual indemnity insurance plan, the doctors wouldn't have to sweat. The patients, you know, the consumers of insurance would be just fine because they're, you know, but they don't tell you, of course, their deductibles would go up and they'd lose coverage, et cetera.
Do you think that there's hope for any of that, any kind of conversation or, you know, possible chance at bipartisanship?
Well, I'm an optimist. I always am an optimist, and I've been, you know, hopeful right along that somehow or other this bill was going to pass and it was going to represent the kind of work that the Senate Finance Committee has been doing. And there I refer to the work that its chairman, Max Baucus, a Democrat, and its ranking member, Chuck Grassley, a Republican, have been doing for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, working principally on payment changes and payment reforms, Medicare, Medicaid, tax policy, paying for performance and quality, dealing with safety issues. They've been doing a lot of that in a bipartisan way and abandoned that somewhere last summer. And, you know, without that basic Senate bill, it seems to me difficult to imagine this, you know, the success of whatever passes. I can't say the Democrats can't pass a bill, but I can say they're not going to have Republican votes with which to pass it unless the president can perform some kind of a miracle in the 4 hours with 50 people in the Blair House, which has never been done in the history of this country, and I doubt if it's going to happen on Thursday.
So do you think that there's anything for this Congress to learn from your experience back under Clinton and that attempt at reforming health care?
Doubt in my mind, Maggie, that both the Congress and the president will end this effort, successfully or unsuccessfully, depending on how you look at it, much the wiser. There's no doubt in my mind that had the president and some of the members of Congress listened more closely and more attentively to both the Republicans and the Democrats who lived through the 93-94 experience as part of this mainstream bipartisan effort, that the president would have approached this differently, that Congress would have approached it differently, and we would have been much closer to success. And reflecting backwards from today, I think you and a lot of other people would agree that the process of getting a bill passed is probably what did this thing in, if it's done in, not just the content of that bill. And so that's really the lesson that the Clintons should have learned. It's a lesson that all of us who were involved in 93, 94 did learn. And it's the lesson that everybody should learn from this experience in 2009 and 2010.
Going into this summit, how should Congress be dealing with it this time around?
The hope lies in trying to find the common ground. I've looked at the president's new proposals and so forth, and boy, I'll tell you, even summarized, it's 11 pages. most Republicans and most Democrats, you know, who haven't been involved in all this negotiation and don't have staffers that have been involved in this stuff for the last 2 years, they're going to look at this and they're going to choke. They're going to say, I'm used to talking in sound bites. There's no way I can discuss this sort of stuff and come off sounding intelligent. But I can tell you in advance that the major agreement would be on getting national rules by which insurance companies would be forced to compete at the local level. And that's, you know, there is, already that's been characterized as buying over state lines by Republicans, and it's now being characterized as some kind of a national health rate authority or health insurance rate authority by the Democrats, which polarizes an effort which could have come together by just having better rules of competition. After you get past that kind of agreement, it gets much more difficult because the Republicans really do believe that all of us Americans could reduce the cost and improve the quality of the healthcare system simply by making our own decisions with our own money. And I hope you and I both understand that there's half of America out there that doesn't have the financial resources to make these kinds of decisions, and 99 and 44 100% of Americans who don't understand how to deal with a cancer, how to deal with a heart attack and stuff like that. And there's no way we're going to price shop. There's no way we're going to do that sort of thing. So that's a conflict that won't go away easily in the four-hour session.
So you obviously believed in the importance of passing healthcare reform in 1993. How much more important is it now? How have healthcare problems in America changed?
I think it's four times more important now than it was then because the costs are four times as bad. And they're escalating more quickly. And the status quo is totally unacceptable. And we're going to find out if this bill doesn't pass, if we can't move towards universal coverage, if we can't do something to bring everybody in America into the system, we're going to discover that the costs are unbearable 3 or 4 years. So the president, having chosen to take this on, has taken a huge step forward, and he can't step backwards. Even if this bill doesn't pass, it's on his desk. The problem stays on his desk. And for the next 3 years or the next 7 years, whatever President Obama may have, this is the problem that brings all Americans together rather than divides them the way we have seen it happen this year. And he's going to have to figure out a way to keep them together and get this problem solved.